It seems that superheroes have become very popular again. There have always been myths and folk tales and folk heroes about tales about people with special abilities who intervene and save people in distress. So that's not new. But in the 20th century and 21st century, it seems like there are more of them. Maybe because people have a tendency in modern times to turn away from God or forget about God. So they fill in the empty space with some superheroes. Back in the 20th century, the classic case of a popular comic book hero was Superman. Superman, the Man of Steel. He could fly, he was strong, he had X-ray vision. He was invincible, except for the kryptonite. He could do pretty much anything. In the 21st century, I noticed there's been an endless series of comic book type heroes, especially in the movies. It's always some special person or some group of people with some special superhuman powers. Here in the Philippines, there are many superheroes. I don't know them all. I know Darna, Captain Barbell. I've heard of some of these. So I think every culture has different superheroes. And I guess these fictional characters are a kind of cultural dream or an aspiration, maybe a spark of hope, or maybe just an escape from the harsh realities. But in fact, there's no one like that. There are no people with all these special superhuman abilities. And so when some natural disaster strikes, like the terrible earthquake that hit the Philippines on Monday, well, we realize there's no one who's going to simply fly into the falling buildings and save all the people. That's not how it works. Some people, when they face bad news, and there's always bad news, there's disasters, there's corruption, there's unemployment, there's sicknesses, some people conclude that because of all those things, there must be no God. Or they conclude that God must not care about his creation, or that he can't do much to help us. That's an understandable conclusion. It's wrong, but it's understandable why people come up with that answer. It's wrong because it's too narrow. It's based only on our natural human standards, as if we're the ones who determine how things are supposed to be. Well, today's readings show us something different, a view that's more complete, not so narrow. A view that is more complete because it includes the presence and the action of God in creation. God is included, not excluded. And the more we have of God, the less we need to fill our imagination with all kinds of fictional characters. Part of the surprise of this larger view is that not only is there a God, a good God, a loving God, but his plans include us. That's a surprise. He doesn't need us, but he includes us. So we learn from the first reading, for example, about the Israelites. The Israelites did not think that they just happened to walk out of slavery in Egypt, and they didn't think that they did it themselves. They knew God intervened for them. God saved them. They knew that God, for some mysterious but undeniable reason, had chosen them. They were chosen people. They were his special possession, as he tells them through Moses in the reading. Then in the second reading this afternoon, we learn that we did nothing to deserve being saved by the death of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says it clearly, we were helpless. We were helpless sinners. It's one thing if someone lays down their life for a good person, that's very rare, but to lay down your life for sinners, that's exactly what God did. And Paul says, this is how God proves his love for us. So those two readings are profound, but let's take a little more time to reflect on the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus' selection of 12 men to be his apostles, and then his sending them out to the lost sheep. Jesus decided to do this at this moment in his public ministry. He called them and he sent them forth, just as he does for each one of us. The apostles are not the only ones called and sent forth. But we might ask ourselves, why? Why does God do this? And the gospel tells us something very important about what's going on in Jesus' mind when he does this. It says, at the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them. That mention of Jesus' heart might make us think of the Sacred Heart. You know, we even have the image of the Sacred Heart still here because the big feast day was last Friday. Actually, the gospel doesn't really mention his heart. It says something like, he was deeply moved with compassion. So he was moved with compassion for the crowd. Why? Because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. It's a very perceptive description of the human condition, like sheep without a shepherd, parang mga tupang walang pastol. This is how God recognizes our condition when we don't know him. And this is how we ourselves experience life when we don't know him. Like sheep without a shepherd, we feel troubled, we feel abandoned, overwhelmed with problems, no way out, lost, maybe even in despair, hopeless. There could be people sitting right here in the church who feel this deeply, hopeless, troubled, abandoned, that no, God isn't doing anything for me. Now the truth is, Jesus was right there when he said that. He's standing right there. The Good Shepherd was right there, just as he's right here, right now. So there's no one who's really a sheep without a shepherd. That's how we experience it, but it's not true. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is here for us. But this is a very common human experience. We don't know God, or we don't know his love for us, or that he's merciful to us, or we have forgotten what we once knew. God has compassion for us, deep, in fact, limitless compassion for us, but we don't seem to know about it. So something has to be done about that problem. Jesus' solution in this gospel is to choose people to work for him, to choose laborers for the harvest. And again, we might ask, well, why? Why choose people to do this very important and difficult work? I mean, Jesus is much better at being a shepherd than any human person could be. Why doesn't he just do it all himself? Why doesn't he just heal everybody? Stop earthquakes, solve corruption. Why doesn't he just do it himself? He could. This is mysterious to us. But this is something that God constantly does. He works through his creatures. He chooses instruments. He chooses workers, laborers, participants. He doesn't just do it all himself, though he does do it, but he does it through people who are willing to follow him and serve him. In this case, he chooses these 12 men. Just as God chose Abraham and his descendants, the Israelites, in the Old Testament, Jesus chooses people starting with these 12. And he doesn't choose superheroes. He doesn't choose supermen. Why? Because there aren't any. He doesn't even choose people with special gifts, certainly not superhuman, supernatural qualities, but he chooses very ordinary men, weak men, sinners, just like us, just like all of us. Now, when we hear the names of the 12 apostles, and I read all 12 of their names, we might think, well, those are the apostles, those are the pillars of the church, the foundation stones, those are the saints, special men with special gifts. Yes, they became special because they did follow, except for Judas. They are holy, they are inspiring patrons, pillars, but they didn't start like that. Jesus did not choose them because they were especially gifted. They were ordinary fishermen or tax collectors or simply nobodies. Nobody's. One of them even betrayed him, and Judas Iscariot was also chosen personally by Jesus Christ. But one lesson we can take away from us today is that God has chosen you. God has chosen me. God chose you personally by name, just like he chose these 12 men. Not because you deserve it, not because you're holy, not because you're gifted. What makes us special is that God chooses us. God's choice is first, not our specialness. Then, because we're chosen, yes, we are special. Just like the Israelites knew, they were a special possession of God. Okay, but there's more to it than that. Those who receive are expected to give, and that's only right. In fact, if we understand how much we receive, we want to give. We want to share what we have. Jesus puts it this way, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Yaman tumanggap kayo ng walang bayad, magbigay naman kayo ng walang bayad. Well, how can we do that? Not on our own power. We're ordinary men and women, just like the apostles are ordinary men. But see what Jesus did with the apostles. He gave them authority over unclean spirits and over sicknesses and even over death. They didn't have that power on their own, and neither do we. They received the power, and they put it to use according to his will. We don't have power to change the world or to stop earthquakes. But we do receive from God extraordinary power. We call it grace. We have received the Holy Spirit. That's God's love at work in our hearts. And he gives us the grace that we need, the power that we need to accomplish the work that he has assigned for us. Not the work that we think has to be done, the work he has given us to do, large or small. And we know, usually, our work is humble and hidden. Nobody notices it. Service in the home, service of the poor, service of our children or our elders. Daily mundane work. It doesn't mean it's unimportant just because the world looks down on it. If that's what God wants us to do, that's what we should do. And put our whole effort into it. The task of a laborer is to do what the boss says. The task of a sheep is to follow the shepherd. Not to sit around complaining about what he didn't do or how he's not doing it the way we want. Our limited perspective will always make it seem like something is not the way God wants it to be. That's not our business. We're not the shepherd. We're not God. No, we are laborers. We are chosen ones. In fact, we're his beloved children. So we are to do what God asks of us, and when we do, he provides what we need in order to accomplish what he wants, and that's how his kingdom is at hand through us. His kingdom is at hand all the time because Jesus Christ has already redeemed us, but he wants to make his kingdom present through us, his chosen children. That's a great mission. And he calls every single one of us to participate in it. So don't wait around for a superhero. Be a laborer for God's harvest. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give.